Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
a rhyme.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's tricky.
Here we go. It's tricky to rock a rhyme. To rock a rhyme. That's right. On time. It's tricky. It's tricky. Tricky. Tricky.
Good morning, 610 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. A couple of opinion pieces written in the PNJ. I've referenced one or two of them throughout the week, but I haven't really gotten into them too much on the air. Very fascinating stuff, okay, because both of them highly critical, in one case of the county commission, Escambia County Commission, in the other case of the Escambia County Tourism Development Council, which is an arm subsidiary of the Escambia County Commission, and both written by pretty prominent local leaders. In the one case, Jim Reeves, of course, DC's dad, who sits on the Tourism Development Commission, and he is writing a scathing essay about why the approval of the $60 million Gym to Nowhere, the athletic facility that has been heavily advocated for by Stephen Berry, is a terrible use of $60 million of money that we're going to basically encumber by putting a bond out on that and never be able to use it for anything else over the next 30 years. And, you know, I mean, repeatedly talks about, and he raised all the right questions when they were having this conversation, by the way, at the board. And I almost thought they were going to vote against it, and then they didn't. But writes, you know, all the same kind of concerns I was raising, that payments are going to be $4 million a year on the bond. TDC's predictions that were, you know, from the study that was given, $1.1 million in annual collections, meaning that you're losing over $2 million a year net, because you've got to consider the bond service in this. Now, DC makes a good point, and other people have made the point, it's a fair one, that public amenities are not often money makers. Okay, you don't make a lot of revenue, as the mayor said the other day, off of, you know, Bayview Park, for example. But still, when you're thinking about how you use the revenue, if you can use it to make more as opposed to lose more, or if you can at least, you know, and they're, by the way, their ideal goal is to break even. And I don't think that includes bond service. I think that includes just the operational cost of the facility versus what it's going to make in a year. And, of course, the argument is it's going to spin off economic benefit. You're going to have people buying in local restaurants and, you know, coming to town and, you know, doing other things. But if you're spending $60 million to lose, you know, almost three a year, it's a weird position that you put the county in to do that. Plus, you've got a lame duck session of the commission. You know, Jeff Bergosh has been voted out. A lot of people making the argument that he really shouldn't be voting on a 30-year decision after he just got rejected by the voters so soundly in this election. Stephen Berry, we don't know whether he's going to win his re-election or not. He'd be up for a fourth term as a county commissioner. Very interesting, the Women for Responsible Legislation forum last week, they asked a question about term limits. You know, and look, I'm not really a strong advocate of term limits. I know some Republicans who are not. But if you poll Republican voters in general, they all favor term limits, or almost all favor term limits. And so you have all these candidates getting up, yeah, I want term limits, two terms, three terms, two terms, Stephen Berry. I don't know, man, if you're good, the people can reelect you for a fourth term. He's up for, you know. So anyway, if he loses to Josh Roberson, the no party affiliate candidate, then that would be, you know, three, because Lumen may stay. That'd be three brand new commissioners. So for them to vote on this, and it's not yet up for a vote. I don't think it's been scheduled for a meeting at the Escambia County Commission meeting yet. But if it does, for them to vote on this is unbelievable. I mean, really unbelievable. They should not be. It is wrong for them to vote on it. Now, at the same time, the incoming commission could say to that vote, yeah, no, we're just going to pass. We're going to undo this. To the degree that can be, and it might not even be able to be accomplished by the November election. Okay, so that was one. Very interesting. Also, I had not realized, pardon my ignorance, I've only lived here 10 years, I did not realize Jim Reeves was a former city council member and a state representative. I mean, I know him as DC's dad, as the commodore of the yacht club, as a local investor, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. The other article that came out in the PNJ, equally scathing, was a letter written by Julian McQueen, criticizing the board for their money grab over the Escambia Children's Trust, something that, again, I had taken this position pretty strongly on the air. And, you know, Julian, who was a big advocate for this thing to come in and, of course, very involved in children's issues and wanting to see, you know, childhood education benefit. But the headline in the PNJ, and now he may not have written the headline, okay, because sometimes the newspaper or even not even local folks, but the printer will write the headline. But the headline is Commissioner's Vote to Tax Escambia Children's Trust is a shameful money grab that hurts kids. And then he goes to explain how it's a shameful money grab that hurts kids and that it's really weird that we're the only county in the entire state that's doing it this way. Can't figure out a way to partner with the Escambia Children's Trust, either through an interlocal agreement where they keep the money but they have to use it a certain way, or where the county uses the money according to the guidance of the Escambia Children's Trust. Both are viable models. But these county commissioners, well, and really it was all four of them, okay? Mike Kohler did join the vote on this one, Lumen, Stephen, and Jeff. And they said, no, we're just going to take that money back and essentially convert it into a public facilities property tax increase is what it winds up being now. We know, writes Julie McQueen, that our school district and many nonprofits worked very hard to achieve the outcome of raising school grades to C or above for all in the first in the district in the first time since 2006. But until the Children's Trust was established, we had not seen this level of results in almost two decades. So, yeah, but very interesting that two big issues with the county commission just about a month and a half ahead of the election, two very prominent local figures have offered pretty strong critiques of either in one case an actual decision or in the other case a likely pending decision by the county commission. 6:16 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for you. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Not seeing any accidents on the big board right now, nor any delays. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help, from running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Join Jim's Firearms for a 10th anniversary celebration on September 20th and 21st. They're partnering with local favorites like Badass Coffee, Key Nutrition, and more for an unforgettable event. Indulge in delicious food from La Casita Food Truck and 850 Barbecue. But that's not all. They're having numerous firearm raffles with all proceeds benefiting Save Underdogs Rescue. Stop by Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway, September 20th and 21st, to celebrate a decade of community support. Online at jimsfirearms.net.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Clingman's Dome, the highest peak in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which is officially reverting to its original and authentic Cherokee name, Kuwohi, after suffering more than 150 years of oppression, being burdened with the name of a Confederate general. Of course, we celebrate the highly righteous practice of stripping names from explorers, scientists, and discovery makers who used to enjoy the privilege of conquest through naming rights. It's an extra bonus if we can take the name away from some dead straight white Christian man, in this case the Swiss seminarian turned geographer Arnold Guyot, and give it to the indigenous peoples of the Cherokee Nation. But it's an even sweeter joy to know that the man being deadnamed was Confederate scum. Yes, Thomas Lanier Clingman was a Democrat U.S. representative, a lawyer, and a U.S. senator from North Carolina, and a Southern brigadier general, so obviously, nobody. And yes, even though the mountain was named for Clingman in 1859, 2 years prior to the Civil War, that almost makes it an easier decision. He reneged on his oath, and so we renege on his name. As a result, the towering peak will now simply be called Cuohee, the Cherokee word meaning mulberry place. Yes, Cuohee, like Denali, Messahehe Mountain, and soon to be the former Jeff Davis Peak, will now officially be part of the sweeping away of the white man's history as the Department of the Interior's rarely talked about Bureau of Virtuous Rightthink renames more than 600 geographic features. And of course, this is all part of the general project of making white people feel uncomfortable, unwelcome, and alienated from this land, just like they did to the natives. So down with Whitey, up with Reddy, and Clingman's Dome we cast thee out in favor of Cuohee. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Eugene Daniels, the gay black White House press correspondent for Politico, who was part of the team interviewing Vice President Kamala Harris for the National Association of Black Journalists this week. Now I know what you're thinking. How dare we cancel a double protected category person holding both acronym and African-American identity documents? Yes, normally he would be safer than a made man in the mafia. I understand. But remember your very first principle of wokeness. Anyone, anywhere, at any time can be canceled for any reason. This is the fear that inspires us not to disobey. And disobey Eugene Daniels most definitely did. He was the journalist who infamously kept asking Her Eminence Queen Kamala I difficult questions and then repeating the question when she deftly avoided answering it. In fact, he asked her the same question three different times about two different subjects, U.S. policy towards Israel and abortion, making Her Highness's repetitive talking points sound increasingly vapid and evasive. Repeating a question even one time implies a deficiency in the interviewee because it means the asker doesn't believe she answered it originally, but asking thrice... twice? That's almost like calling someone a liar out loud. So rude, so demeaning, and as Princess Hillary herself observed, also sexist.
Also because they're still grappling with the idea like, oh, am I really going to vote for a woman to be president and commander-in-chief?
She's right. The only time a male journalist asks a woman the same question more than once is when he hates women. Perhaps he's one of those men who like men precisely because he only has disdain for women. But even just demanding she answer specific policy questions is a form of sexism. Surely Mr. Daniels would never ask a male candidate for president. Especially, this is another thing that Princess Hillary was exactly right about.
She does not have to do it, Kara. I'm going to just cut to the chase. In fact, she's put out policies on her campaign website. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's truly interested can go and read about them. She referenced policies. Mm-hmm.
That's right. The first black/Asian woman to run for president doesn't have to answer specific policy questions, especially when asked multiple times. Instead, she can just tell stories, give word salad history lessons in a condescending tone, and remind you that she grew up in the middle class. Just like a man would. So for committing black-on-black rhetorical violence in the third degree, we cancel thee, Eugene Daniels. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, Cameron Yast, the U.S. Navy captain and former commanding officer of the Arleigh Burke-class destroyer, the USS John McCain. Although Yast may not be a household name, many of you have surely seen the photo for which he was relieved of command. The social media post showed the skipper shooting a standard-issue M4 assault weapon into the ocean on board his ship while looking through a scope with brass flying everywhere. Unfortunately for Captain Yast, the scope was mounted backwards, which, had he actually been using it in combat, would have made his target look smaller rather than larger. Online critics noticed this gaffe immediately and mocked the picture mercilessly, even including the United States Marine Corps, who shared the post along with the devastating caption, "Clear sight picture." Because of all the negative press and for bringing disrepute upon the Navy, Yast was relieved of command. Now, dear Otherin, certainly we find ourselves conflicted about this incident. On the one hand, because he is a member of the military and actively engaged in the firing of a murder stick in this picture, We shed no tears over his cancellation. On the other hand, however, we are somewhat grateful to Yass precisely because, in misusing his weapon this way, he did make the Navy look bad, and anything that makes the Navy look bad, we think is a good thing. Since militaries are a tremendous waste of money, and because the Navy indoctrinates impressionable young sailors with nationalistic jingoism and embodies the premise of violence as a way of solving problems, we love seeing any portion of the military lampooned. We do not believe in militaries. We believe in peace through peacefulness, and harmony through harmoniousness, and safety through random acts of kindness and a winsome smile. Also, relieving him of command for improper use of a machine gun implies that there can never be a proper use of a machine gun. But of course, we know that these death wands have no place on any part of this planet. Also, and some may miss this part, those cylindrical oblong bullet containers, I think maybe they're called casings, flying around out of his M4 look as if they may actually be falling right into the ocean in a brazen act of metal pollution. Not to even mention the metal being shot into the water, so despite embarrassing the war machine, Captain Yast must be cast overboard. For promoting warfare, for possessing a firearm, and for polluting the world's oceans, in addition to probably killing some unlucky fish downrange, we tell thee woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Refreshments this week are provided by Misty Mountain Hops, non-alcoholic beer brewed only from the finest all-natural streams of mountains that have been renamed in honor of indigenous peoples. Yes, certified to have been peed into only by de-whitified wildlife, the otherwise flavor-free alcohol-free brews remind you that sometimes justice is the most tasteless of all the flavors. Misty Mountain Hops, you really can't taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
626 on News Radio 92.3 in local, dependable. Oh, sorry, that's all me. That's pardon me. The crowd gets a little unruly when they don't get their fair share. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still no accidents on the big board right now. We're seeing no delays on I-10, I-110. You may see a small delay coming out of Pace on Highway 90 going down to Pensacola. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a Kentucky sheriff is facing a first-degree murder charge in the shooting death of a judge. Letcher County Sheriff Sean Steins is accused of killing Judge Kevin Mullins after some type of an argument in a county courthouse. Steins turned himself in after the shooting and was arrested. United Auto Workers now warning of potential strikes at Ford and Stellantis plants. The union announcing that a September 25th strike deadline at a Ford plant, which helps make the F-150 pickup truck. That deadline called over issues involving job security and wages. And, well, good news, as we reported earlier, cancer deaths in the U.S. down this year. That according to a report released by the American Association for Cancer Research, they found that the cancer death rate is down by 33%. And that's over a 30-year span from 1991 until 2021.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, that really is a massive number. So, David, thanks so much for the good news. 628 on News Radio 92.3. If you need to do a home improvement project, repair something, especially if you broke it, or you're just doing a home remodel or an improvement or an upgrade, or you build things for a living. I mean, there's a whole spectrum of range of construction slash hardware type needs. And, you know, I know me, I'm like a 1 on the 10 scale. Okay. The reluctant participant, so to speak, the guy who can't repair something without swearing, you know, that's how you know how good I was at it, is how many times I swear when I'm doing it. I was actually so proud of myself. I repaired something the other day and didn't swear once. The weirdest way of saying, I know, super satisfying. I don't know what happened. Anyway, but depending on where you are on this scale, right, from me at the very low end to you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware, they've got the stuff you need, okay? You go there, you get good advice, you get the supplies, they have it on hand, you won't have to order it, like you're not going to have to wait a day or two to get it, and especially if you build things for a living, they can ship it to the job site, put you on a monthly bill, and they know what you're dealing with because they have been helping people just like you build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, the oldest business in the state. okay? 173 years helping people just like you do this job. It's just kind of amazing. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware. 629 on News Radio 92.3. What was the other thing? I was going to tell you something, and then it went straight out of my head. What was it? Oh, very interesting, the Teamsters story, right? Teamsters declining to endorse a presidential candidate. It's been a while. They actually did endorse Republicans, you know, like Reagan, I think, and Bush Sr. got the endorsement back in the day. But they've been kind of a Democratic captive audience now for a while. But remember Sean Fain, he spoke at the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention. And they did an internal poll, and they basically discovered that their members were so conflicted about this, in some cases leaning towards Trump, okay, but not leaning strongly enough that they felt it was worth it. And he basically said that neither candidate has made them enough promises about the things they will and won't do to satisfy their list of demands to get them as a union, as a unit, to endorse one way or the other. But man, that's a big win for Trump, in my opinion, just getting them to not endorse the Democrat.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump tells Israeli Americans Democrats have a hold or a curse on Jewish people who vote for them, and Israel will be annihilated if Vice President Harris wins.
47 days from now, we're going to defeat Kamala Harris. You have to defeat Kamala Harris. More than any other people on earth, Israel, I believe, has to defeat her.
The former president at an event in D.C. The Republican candidate for governor in North Carolina, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, says he will not drop out of the race and denies a new report about him.
According to CNN, Robinson, the Republican nominee for governor, quote, made a series of inflammatory comments on a pornography website's message board more than a decade ago, in which he referred to himself as a black Nazi and expressed support for reinstating slavery.
Fox's Jonathan Sari. Robinson's running against State Attorney General Josh Stein. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 70 degrees in Pensacola this morning. A Pace man has died after a motorcycle crash. This happened last night on the Pea Ridge Connector in Santa Rosa County. That happened just after 8 p.m. north of Highway 90. FHP says the motorcycle went off the road and hit a curb. There were no other vehicles that were involved in that crash. Forecasters bumping up the odds of a tropical disturbance in the Gulf of Mexico. According to the National Hurricane Center, a broad area of low pressure could form late this weekend or early next week. After that, gradual development is possible, and they say a tropical depression could form as that system moves into the southern Gulf by the middle of next week. Forecasters giving that a medium chance of development. They're also still watching a few systems in the Atlantic. The hurricane season lasts through the end of November. Well, investigators still looking for that driver that ran into a man, then crashed into a building at the local Circle K gas station. PPD spokesman Mike Wood says it's the first time he's ever seen a case like this. The victim was hit hard by a car, but then got inside the same vehicle and left the scene. So far, there's no word on whether the man sustained any injuries or why he would get in that vehicle.
Other than making the police officer scratch their head, I don't know.
PPD's Mike Wood, he says the incident may have been caused by a medical issue, an impaired driver, or some type of incident between the driver and the victim. But until they find the driver and the car, they just won't know. Kamala Harris leads Donald Trump 50% to 45% in a new nationwide Florida Atlantic University survey. Pollster Kevin Wagner says the gender gap has returned to the race.
Harris is doing considerably better than former President Trump with women, and that's a change from when Joe Biden was on the ballot, and you can see that expansion of the support by women voters.
And Wagner says that women favor Harris over Trump by 7 points, while the two candidates are essentially tied among men. Overall, a New York Times Siena poll has the race tied. A new Fox poll has Harris up by two, and a Rasmussen report has Trump up by two. A Santa Rosa County prison inmate that was already serving a life sentence has received a second lifetime sentence now for beating his cellmate to death in 2020. 32-year-old Joshua Gardner was sentenced after a jury convicted him of second-degree murder. Prosecutors say Gardner beat his cellmate, Jose Aperio Becerra. He was found unresponsive in his cell. prison official called it the most gruesome thing she'd witnessed in 19 years working in the state prison system. And just saw this one. Four men recently arrested in Gulf Shores, Alabama, after an illegal berry heist. Now, this all started when a passerby noticed four men throwing a bag into a pickup truck bed and then quickly jumping in that truck to leave. That prompted a call to Baldwin County deputies, who stopped the truck. In the bed, they found 18 bags of palmetto berries. Apparently, they were planning on bringing those back to Florida to sell. Now, the four men weren't charged with stealing the berries, but they did get arrested for possession of marijuana. And Baldwin County officials say this is actually the second big palmetto berry theft that's been reported there in the last few weeks. Apparently, palmetto berries are used in health supplements and sell for up to $10 a pound, but they're illegal to harvest without a permit. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine. Temperatures warming up into the mid to upper 80s for your highs. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back into the 70s. Keeping sunshine around through the entire weekend. Plenty of sunshine both Saturday and Sunday. Highs in the upper 80s to low 90s. Lows overnight in the low 70s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEARTV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 70 degrees right now in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, and 71 in Milton. And I almost completely forgot, but let's get an update on our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still no accidents on the big board that I'm looking at right now, but we're not seeing some delays, just barely, as you head down to Cervantes Street from North Palafox Street. You're going to see some delays at that intersection. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And your next news at 7 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Application for unemployment benefits fell to the lowest level since May. The Labor Department reports initial claims decreased by 12,000 to 219,000 for the week ending September 14th. The Anti-Defamation League has joined a lawsuit alleging a hostile workplace, discrimination, and wrongful termination at Intel, brought by a former Israeli employee who alleges the company supported two executives who openly posted anti-Semitic propaganda tied to the Israel-Hamas war. It is the first time the ADL has sued a major American company in its over 100-year history. Nike CEO John Donahue is retiring from his position, and company veteran Elliot Hill is returning to take the top job. Donahue is slated to step down on October 13th, but will remain on as an advisor through the end of January. Futures are mixed after the Dow and S&P 500 closed at record highs. That's your money now.
Big Time Entertainment presents live in concert the legendary Oak Ridge Boys in Pensacola. Members of the Grand Ole Opry, Country Music Hall of Fame, and five-time Grammy Award winners, the Oak Ridge Boys. The Oak Ridge Boys. The Oak Ridge Boys, American Made Farewell Tour, Sunday, October 6th at the Sanger Theater in Pensacola.
My baby is American.
Than 30 top 10 hits and over a dozen number ones. The Oak Ridge Boys, one night only.
After y'all come back, salute.
Get your tickets now at the Sanger Theater box office or Ticketmaster.com.
And we will sail away on the wings of love into the night.
The Oak Ridge Boys.
Yes, I'm setting.
Don't miss the Oak Ridge Boys at the Sanger Theater in Pensacola, October 6th.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30. with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Everyone here on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. In case you have not heard, there's been a lot of conversation recently over the fees charged in Santa Rosa County by the various fire districts, Midway, Pace, Avila Malat, and Navarre. And there's been some changes at the state level to allow these fee structure changes. And as you heard us talking with Lisa Newell, or if you didn't, I talked with Lisa Newell about this yesterday. And, you know, big meeting, packed out meeting where people were, sort of gnashing teeth and wailing over the changes and what it's going to mean for some of them. Because I thought this was such an interesting subject, complicated, therefore exactly the kind of thing that demands the legal mind of an Alex Andrade, I wanted to have him on. Also, he was the state representative who helped pass this in, you know, the state level. He is the representative for District 2, Alex Andrade. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Can we start with maybe just do a little background for people on what the fire fees have been, how they've been structured, and what the changes have been? I know you and I were just talking about this off the air. You were kind of explaining it to me. Everybody's a little bit different, but there's a little bit more uniformity now. But what's happened? Give us the background so we all know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So for the past, several years, three out of like the four main fire districts in Santa Rosa County have generated revenue on an ad valorem tax basis, meaning part of your property tax bill has millage, a millage rate that's assessed for fire. For example, Midway's millage rate that they assessed for fire last year was 2.5 mils, which in context is nearly 50% of the Santa Rosa County as a whole millage rate, and nearly 50% of the Santa Rosa County School District millage as a whole. So you had folks in Midway who were paying, 2.5 mils. For context, on a, let's say, $500,000 house, that would be north of $2,000 you'd be paying just in fire fees for your house.
Wow. Okay. So, and that was Midway. And again, like you say, nearly half as much they were paying just for the one service of fire as they were paying for all of the county for everything else and all of the school board for everything else, which is amazing. Pace and Avalon also were on an ad valorem, a property tax basis too?
Yeah. Pace and Avalon Lot were also on an ad valorem basis, but they weren't levying that 2.5 mills. Pace is levying 1.5 and Avalon's levying 2.
And 2.5 and 2.5 was the max, right? 2.5 was the most they were allowed by law.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Without a referendum. The one outlier was Holly Navarre. Holly Navarre was already on the fee structure that we are now implementing for Midway, Pace, and Avalon Mulat. And that fee structure is based on minimum square footage basis. So for houses 2,300 square feet or less in Navarre, they pay $150 for their fire fee, and then they pay about 7 cents per square foot above 2,300 square feet.
Okay.
That's the same concept that now Midway, Pace, and Avalon Mulot are taking on, just with slightly different numbers than what Navarre has.
And as I understand it, because the legislation made this change possible, Midway, Pace, and Navarre are now on up to 1,600 square feet. They pay a flat fee, and then they pay a per square foot after that. With Midway being a 300 base and Pace and Avalon being a 250 base, do I have that right?
Well, the only thing you have wrong is that number being a base. So 300 is the maximum Midway can charge someone who owns a 1,600 square foot house. No one's telling Midway to charge $300 per 1,600 square foot house.
Okay.
They could choose to charge 200. They could choose to charge 15, like 150. Same with Pace and Avalon. Those are the 300 for Midway and the 250 for Pace and Avalon. Those are the maximums, similar to the 2.5 mil concept.
I gotcha.
That's the maximum they can charge. Everyone, I'm assuming, would encourage them to charge less than the maximum.
Okay, and have they set those per unit rates yet? Has that been decided upon?
Yes. I know Pace's meeting was earlier this week, and Midway's, I believe, was also maybe earlier this week or late last week.
Okay.
They've all set them. Pace's did not charge the maximum. My understanding is that Midway did vote to charge the maximum.
Okay, so Midway went with 300, Pace went with something less, and Avalon went with something less, I guess, previously. And keep in mind that Navarre, for a bigger house up to 2,300 square feet, is almost half that much at 150. Okay, that's sort of the fact background. And I wanted to talk about this in terms of, like, philosophically why it matters. So hang on for just a second. Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2, which is the southern half of, well, it's the southern half of Escambia County and all the waterfront areas of Santa Rosa County, Midway, Navarre, for example, or much of Navarre, not all of Navarre. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Alex Andrade. Okay, so the people that are upset about this, I presume, are the people who have smaller and or lesser value homes, because for them, on the old system, when you raise the rate, when you raise the amount, it would affect the expensive home more. And as property values go up, it's going to cost the expensive home people more. Whereas this system shifts the burden of the cost downscale, so to speak, so that people in smaller or lesser value homes are going to wind up paying more proportionate to what they paid before. Am I right about that? Those are the people that are upset?
Yeah, and a few just keynotes. This is a charge for a fee. No one is saying that we should pay different rates for the same trash service. No one is saying we should pay different rates for the same electrical services or gas service or water service. This is a service that is being provided by an independent elected district. And yeah, the whole concept was that everyone who puts the same burden on the system should pay the same amount for the burden they place on the system. And this is also, Andrew, I know your position on ad valorem taxes. It's the most unfair method of taxation you can imagine.
It is.
When we talk about home values, they're not arbitrary, but someone who owns the same type of house, same value, if it goes on the market, same everything, if they've lived in it for 30 years, that ascribed taxable value could be $100,000, whereas someone who has lived in that same exact house for 1 year, their ascribed value could be $600,000.
Exactly.
It's a massive disparate difference, and it's a complete imbalance. I think one of the biggest misconceptions and one of the biggest...
Let me interrupt you for just a second. And one additional problem is if it's a rental versus a homestead, because the person who is in a homestead, they get all of these reductions in the taxable value of their home. But if you own a home that you rent out to somebody, all of a sudden you don't get any of that benefit. And if you own one home and live next door in the identical home that you rent out, On your own home, you might be paying, you know, 2.5 mils on 100,000, and the next door you're paying, you know, 2.5 mils on 400,000, just because it's a rental. All of these things, which are insane in my opinion. But okay, go ahead. I kind of interrupted you. You were going to say.
Oh, well, I was going to take up the question of those exemptions. Yeah, so some of the main exemptions we have are the homestead exemption. That's a $25,000 reduction in your assessed value, that fake number we just talked about. So if your assessed value is 150 and it's a homestead property, well, then your assessed value for tax purposes is 125. We have a couple other of those types of tax exemptions. It's like a $5,000 tax exemption for a disabled veteran, a $5,000 exemption for someone who has a disability. And so, I mean, those exemptions are like one-fifth of the value of the homestead exemption, but I think a lot of that's getting blown out of proportion in some of these discussions related to this issue. Again, the whole concept is you should pay the same amount for the same value. This should be across the board. If Avalon or Midway or someone else wants to talk about some type of ability to issue rebates for any specific person they believe shouldn't be paying for this service but still receiving it, I'm happy to discuss it with them, but that's never been discussed. And I've been working with Avalon and Pace and Midway since last year on these bills.
And so, businesses like, too, right? Businesses, under these systems, businesses have to pay a disproportionate amount too, right?
Yeah. Businesses on their fees, their fee structure is the same concept, but it's different maximum amount.
Okay. Now, the thing that you and I have not, we haven't really talked about yet, but I just wanted to make sure before we run out of time that we get to this. Something that I had never thought of until I did, you know, ride-alongs with Escambia County Fire was who really is a fire risk? Because it's one thing, you know, I get the idea behind the larger home pays a larger fee because there's more stuff to catch on fire. But in practice, that's not true. The nicer homes are typically less prone to fire because of safety measures taken, because of lifestyle choices that people who live in nicer homes, you know, for example, less likely to smoke or engage in risky behavior or, you know, there's all kinds of things, okay? What you really find out is that the people who are most likely to use the fire service are people who live in lower value homes and typically older homes, which are less safe to begin with because of codes that they were built under. And so even in a system like this, where you're generally paying kind of a flat fee plus a little bit per square foot, the people who are really putting a drain on the system or who are really likely to put a demand on needing fire service are still not paying really their fair share. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong philosophically, just based on the numbers of where calls go for fire calls. All I'd say is what you're talking about is kind of like what is the conservative mindset on where the social safety net should go and how far the social safety net should expand. And part of this
and
is
who should pay for it, right?
Yeah. Still at the end of the day. Yeah. Part of this is, you know, still at the end of the day, some level of a social safety net. I mean, this is a community service, same way as police. You know, I'm paying taxes for police officers. I hope I never have to call them.
Exactly.
I've never had police officers come to my house.
And part of that, if you live in a nice neighborhood, is you pay a lot extra because you're a nice house for police services that are more likely distributed towards poor neighborhoods. You know, that's just the way the police works too. Same thing.
And I could not imagine a fire district or a county commission trying to set their budget based on, you know, billing for services after they've been provided. Like,
right.
Imagine the nightmare for that budget department.
Well, all I'm getting at is, you know, we're never going to have a situation where somebody's going to propose that you should actually pay more for older and or lower value homes for fire service, even though the reality is like an insurance company. You know, insurance companies charge you more if you're a smoker. Well, a fire service should charge you more if you're a smoker for going on real, you know, fee for service kind of provided. Nobody's really proposing that. I'm just saying that whining about having to pay even a more comparable fee for service, like you say, trash collection, for example, is whining about something where you're already getting more than your fair share of service for the fee paid. And so I think the old system of ad valorem basis was crazy. I also think that charging $2.5 million when the county itself charges only $6 million is, that seems like a lot to me. So I just wanted to have you on to kind of banter this about a little bit so people would be informed and really think through kind of the implications of where we've got. Did I leave anything out? Any last thoughts you want to share, Alex?
Well, yeah, I think this has been an opportunity for a lot of folks to realize that Midway Fire District's budget has ballooned in the past 10 years. I mean, their budget in 2015 was $2.7 million. What they intended to tax and spend in 2024 was $8.5 million. This was their department has grown in revenue exponentially to the point where they were the only district in our general area coming anywhere near to taxing the maximum amount they could on ad valorem. And so I think a lot of folks didn't realize they had elected boards that manage these fire districts. And it might be an opportunity to discuss with the county commission, whether or not there might be an actual savings if the county commission took these services back over.
Yeah, I think that's the right next question.
Districts.
You know, this sort of patchwork quilt of systems, the various fees they charge, whether they're being used, ideally, in an efficient way. I will say that, speaking as an Escambia County resident, that having the county run the fire service isn't also the golden, isn't necessarily the golden solution to everything. But it's well worth considering. So I'm glad that conversation is sort of on the cusp of at least happening, at least being talked about. Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2, thank you so much for always being available to answer questions for me and for helping explain this pretty complicated issue to our folks. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. John's got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We have a vehicle on fire on South Fairfield Drive, just a half mile before Gulf Beach Highway heading south. It's in the emergency lane, but it's still causing some delays. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you want to learn a new skill, pick up some personal enrichment, take your career in a whole different direction, or if you're a high school student wanting to get college credit while you also do high school and at no extra cost, Pensacola State College does all of these things. Dual enrollment, my kids, all three, two have already gone to university with a year and a half worth of credit under their belt because of PSC. One is starting that process now, and we'll do the same basic thing. It's a wonderful program for high school students. And again, PSC just has all these different options available, different class times, teacher-oriented teachers. They love to teach, very customer service, administration. Big fan of Pensacola State College. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrenton, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Seeking the pulse of economic strength?
The Port of Pensacola is more than a name. It's the driving force behind Northwest Florida's progress. Home to over 20 major businesses, from C-Mex Materials to General Electric Wind Energy, and now the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, they've been a catalyst for prosperity and growth. Ready to shape the future? Visit portofpensacola.com and discover how they power the region's success.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Hey, Kyle, up your nose with rubber hose.
.659 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Sun's up. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the White House calling for urgent diplomacy as Israel launched airstrikes against Hezbollah targets in Lebanon yesterday. The Israeli military carried out over 50 strikes and said their jets destroyed hundreds of Hezbollah rocket launchers that were aimed at Israel.
Oh, man. By the way, I mean, Kamala Harris has the answer. Just an adamant repetition of the same five talking points will solve the problem.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.